Heavenly Father, we do lift up our pastor Tony to you, Lord. We pray that you would just continue to heal him, help Michaelin minister to him as he's getting back to health, Lord. Continue just to bless him in this time. Give him some good days of rest and recuperation, and charge him up like you can, Lord God, to come and bless us with the word. And we just we do lift up Barbara Wilhelm's family and the cleaning crew and those that served with her here, Lord God. We pray that you would just touch, that you would touch our hearts. Help us to fill that void. Help us to remember all the good things, her smiling face and just the way she was, Lord. Help us to remember those things and look forward to them in the future to be with her, Lord. I pray that you would just soften this for each person that's really struggling with it. And Lord, we do thank you for the youth and for what you've done in their lives. We ask that you would just really continue to watch over and bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Already getting dry. All right. So today, we're going to look at the wilderness experience. We all have to go through the wilderness experience. In fact, some of you are in one right now. I'm in one right now, too. Some of you are coming out of the wilderness, wilderness experience. You know what I'm talking about, those times in your Christian life when everything is dry or it's hot and it's uncomfortable and it's not a fun place to be. You may be in that place right now. Or you're coming out of one. And worst of all is if you're, there are some, and I hope this isn't you, that end up in the wilderness and they get comfortable there. I hope you don't get comfortable there. There is a purpose and a reason for the wilderness experience. And we all have to go through one. In fact, Moses had to go through it twice. And go ahead and put my verse up here. We're going to look a little bit about the purpose of why we go through the wilderness experience. It's for this reason, because God wants to transform us into people who used to walk by the flesh or by this life, the physical life. He wants to transform us from that to people who walk by faith, who trust him. And the only way that that can really come about is if we get put into situations where it's uncomfortable and it's stressful. Where we get a little bit stretched. And in fact, you know, me being here right now, I'm being a little bit stretched. And I'll talk a little about my wilderness experience here in a little bit. But so we all have to go through it. I sure hope you're not one of those people that have, you know, just accepted the Lord. I mean, when you look, if you look at the Old Testament, if you look at Exodus and Numbers, and I love Numbers, I really do. You see this pattern in the scriptures where first it was the, in the Exodus, you had the lamb that was slain. Well, Jesus was our Lamb of God, right? He is our Passover, okay? And then from that, they were released from service to Satan, and now they're set free, and they move, but they head right straight into the wilderness experience. And there was a specific time that God had to work out or to pull out the time that they had lived in Egypt, which had become a part of them. The wilderness experience is to do just that. It's to pull the world out of us. It's to pull that all the experiences that we had, our hopes, our desires that were in the world, to get those out of our mind and out of our head and heart, and to start looking towards his promises and his rest, which we do have a promise. And when you look at the sequence of events, you have the lamb that was slain, they're set free, they go into the wilderness, well, they were baptized, and then they went into the wilderness. And they were supposed to spend a very short time there, and it was really dependent on them. And they could never enter into the promised land, at least that first generation couldn't. And so the reason why they couldn't is because they could not transform. That first generation could not transform and walk by faith in God. They instead walked by sight. And so you need to understand that the purpose for the wilderness experience that we all must go through has a purpose, and it's to basically to get our attention and to yank the world out of us and to start putting our faith and trust in God. Now, I'm not talking about faith and faith here. I'm talking about faith in God. And so often we hear about people that they have faith and faith and all of that, and that's actually a deception. And you have to be careful, because what you need to be is faith in God. So 2 Corinthians does, this verse here, 2 Corinthians 5:7, does matter as it relates to our wilderness experience. Now, our faith in God is supposed to lead us, not our emotions. And we are emotional beings. God is an emotional God. But we're not to be led by our emotions or by our feelings. And there are times in our Christian walk when we just don't feel a lot of anything regarding God. And I want to tell you that oftentimes it's not the enemy that's attacking you, it's the Holy Spirit that's rubbing you. And I'll try to show that to you here in a minute. Now, I've been going through a little bit of a wilderness experience for the past 2 weeks, and it was regarding this message. And what's unfortunate, when you're a teacher or called to teach, and I'm still not sure I am, and you probably aren't either, but you want to put together a message that's really, you know, tight and has all the bullet points. Well, you're not going to get that today. I have been going through, since I started studying for this 2 weeks ago, in the beginning, it was, I started, bullet points, and all this stuff, and I'm getting it on the computer, and I'm running, and it's going, and the next day, I started studying again, and I was like, oh, I hit a wall, and then the next day, it got worse, and I got more frustrated, and then all the way till yesterday, I am still trying to pound out a lesson plan or a nice sermon here for you guys, and I'm struggling the whole time. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? I can't hear you. You know, it's like you stopped talking. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, hello, you're in a wilderness. You got to go through a wilderness experience. And so I had to go through this because something had got askew in my thinking and in my walk, and God had to get my attention. And so the way he does it is he uses trials and tribulations, and he uses these desert experiences. Now, again, I'm talking about desert experiences, not, Yosemite experiences. I'm talking about not like the mountaintop experiences that our youth just had. I'm talking about those dry, uncomfortable, painful at times parts of our life and walk when it seems like God's far away and you can't hear him, and you're like, where are you, Lord? And the whole purpose for that is so that we walk by faith and not by sight. You see, he has to pull away for a little bit to get us to believe his word over how we feel. You understand that? That's vital for us as Christians to get to that place. Now, what's really funny is that my daughter, who's not walking with the Lord right now, she had a wilderness experience Friday. And her and her boyfriend were driving to Beaumont, Texas, and they broke down in Gage, New Mexico. Do you know where that's at? It's in the middle of nowhere. Okay? So we get me and Karen get a phone call at 5:30 in the morning. You know that's never good. And Dad, we're broke down, and I'm trying to think, the 60s closed, so I can't go that way. And I'm like, how do I get to Gage, New Mexico? She's totally cut off. I can't get there from here, at least I thought. And so I called, or I texted Anthony, help. Anthony called me right away, and he says, you take this highway and go down there and this and that. And where they were at is you got to go, 75 miles this way and then 50 miles this way, either way, there's just no good way to get her. So she's totally cut off. And my daughter, again, she's not walking, so she's really frustrated and she's just beside herself. She's just angry. Nobody's stopping to help her, and they blew their engine. They overheated and blew their engine. And just car after car was whizzing by and would not stop. And so finally, she just, out of frustration, cries out, "God, if you're real, cause somebody to stop and help us." Within 5 minutes of that prayer, somebody stopped and tried to give him a helping hand. And all of a sudden, God had her attention. You see, but it took her, God had to bring her to a place in the middle of the desert for her to actually start to cry out to God. And that's what the wilderness experience really is for us. And sometimes we have to go through the wilderness experience a couple of times. We at least have to go through trials, because you remember, our trials or our faith has to be, it's like gold. It has to be refined like the fire. Like that verse says that it's for our faith to be genuine, it has to be fired up. It has to be heated up, so that the dross comes to the surface, and then you scoop it all off. And isn't that what happens when you get into the trials and you get into these wilderness experiences? You get uncomfortable, and all of a sudden the real you starts to show up. And you're like, wow, I don't like that person. Well, you know what? Neither does God. It's that fleshly person. It's that person who walks by flesh and not by sight. You see, the flesh loves to be comfortable. It shies away from those desert experiences. And what I'm trying to tell you today is not to shy away from them, but to allow the Holy Spirit to take you through those desert experiences. It's not always the enemy, and I'll show you that here in a minute. Now, one of the things that I learned yesterday, and I was totally frustrated with this study, and I'm just banging my head. Nothing's coming out, and it's getting later and later, and the deadline's coming. And, my deadline was Friday. It came and went. And yesterday I had a lot of stuff going on, and I sat down to study by about 2 in the afternoon, and it's 4 o'clock, and I'm still not getting anything on the paper. And I'm just like, Lord, what are you doing to me? What are you doing? Is this a spiritual attack? And I started going through all the things that, am I in sin? All that stuff, all those things you start thinking about. And I just could not hear from God. Until finally I called a friend and I said, man, I need some help. I need some prayer. I'm really struggling with this study. And my greatest fear is that I'll go to church tomorrow. I'm not worried about being a fool in front of a bunch of people. I do that at least 5 minutes every Sunday anyway, right? So I'm not worried about being a fool in front of you. My greatest fear was that you would leave here without being fed. I want to make sure, and that's Tony's goal, that every time you come in here, you at least leave here with a morsel or some sort of spiritual dinner that propels you through to get you to Wednesday or next Sunday or through the week or what have you. And, I was really concerned about that. And I was really, really bugged by the fact. And so finally I decided, I asked Karen, I said, what should I do? I'm stuck. And my wife, she said, just take a rest. Just rest. Well, what was interesting by her statement is it was exactly the same statement of my friend that I had called on the phone. He said, just rest. Well, that's what faith does. You see, when you get in those sticky situations where there's a deadline coming and, things aren't going your way and it's, it seems like the enemy's coming against you, it may be the Holy Spirit that's got you in this situation to get your attention about something so that you start to get things back in line with what God wants for you. Now, we walk by faith and not by sight. I still don't like this Bible study, okay? But it seemed to work for the first service, so I'm hoping it'll work for the second service. So anyway, I'm banging my head, and so finally I thought, I need to really rest. And I'm thinking, okay, how do I do that? How do I really rest? And I remembered Psalm 46:10. It says, be still and know that I am the Lord, or be still and know that I am God. And that's really sometimes where God just wants us to go. He just wants us to sit at his feet. Now, having said that, and I'm already messed up with my notes here, but we'll turn over to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And I'll read this, if you'll read with me. 10:38 says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village," that would be Jesus, "and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also was sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Now, in the Greek, it actually is a double negative. Not only is it "will not be taken away," but what it really should say is "will not be ever taken away from her." You see, the problem that I have been having is that I was so concerned about giving you guys a meal, I was so worried about you guys, that I forgot about the most essential thing. I was so busy with distraction of service that I forgot to sit at the feet of Jesus, you see? And that's vital for us. Because if I am not sitting at the feet of Jesus, I'm not getting fed, I'm not getting built up to be able to go out and feed anybody else. You see, I got to get fed too as a teacher. So I've got to go before the Lord and sit at his feet and listen to his word and to just enjoy his company and not worry about being distracted with his service. You see, worship comes out of service. Did I say that right? No, service comes out of worship. I'm sorry. Service comes out of worship, not worship out of service. So if you're struggling in that wilderness, if you're having a hard time, if it's dry, uncomfortable, what have you, you know, what you need to do is to get you through this wilderness experience is just go sit at the feet of Jesus. And sometimes that just means, like Psalm 46:10 said, to be still and know that I am God. And that's so hard for us, especially in this culture. And in our flesh is so self-reliant. And God wants to use the wilderness experience to transform us, you see. The whole experience in the wilderness is to get us to move from relying on ourselves to reliance on him and to have trust in him to get us through whatever we're going through. And sometimes it's really quiet when these things happen. Now, I want to take you over to the book of Mark, chapter 1. And we'll look at that real quick. And starting in verse 9, it says, "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Now, if this was me, I would like to just camp out here for a little while in the echo of, "You're my beloved Son." Okay? That's an awesome, imagine hearing the thunder, you know, and going, "Wow, Lord, can you say that again? You know, I just want to enjoy that a little bit longer." But no, look at the very next verse. "And immediately the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him." You see, the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness. The Holy Spirit wanted the Lord to go into the wilderness to prove the flesh and the spirit, to prove the flesh to be weak and the spirit strong. And that's why we have to go through the wilderness experience too. And sometimes, again, some of us have to go a couple of times because we just don't get it right. Now, you remember in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was praying that night before he was going to be crucified. And he's praying three times, "Lord, if there be any other way." Where was that big voice then? Where was that echo? Where was that, "This is my beloved Son"? It was quiet. It was peaceful, right? But he was going through torment. Again, Jesus had to walk by faith and not by sight. And that's what he wants each one of us to learn to do. And it's uncomfortable, and we get stretched, and our flesh doesn't like it. We start to panic, and we start to do things and say things and react from emotions, and we end up crunching toes or telling somebody off or doing whatever. And we just walked in the flesh. And the whole idea is we need to become people who don't panic. When we don't hear God so clearly, that we just rest, we fall back on his word. You remember Jesus back in his wilderness experience, you know? He said, we live by every word of God. And so we must starve the flesh and feed the spirit. And so this wilderness experience, the whole purpose for it is for us to start becoming people who will trust what God has already promised to us. And he trusts in God, and let's look at the wilderness experience that Israel experienced. In the book of Numbers, they went to, God was ready to bring them into the land. But before that, they had camped at that mountain where Moses received the Ten Commandments. And they were there for a long time. And finally God says, enough, it's time to move. Get out from the shadow of this one experience and let's go make some more experiences. But I wonder how many Christians are in here right now who have had one great experience and you're still living in the shadow of that experience. It's time to make new ones. It's time to allow the Holy Spirit to take you into the wilderness, to stretch you, to make you uncomfortable, to drive out the Egypt out of your life, or to get you to a place where you can get your life back in order. Now, what happened to me yesterday is I finally, went into one of my bedrooms, have a spare bedroom, and I just wanted quiet, and I just wanted to sit before the Lord, you know, and get this right. And when he showed me that I had got out of alignment a little bit, that I've got the cart before the horse. In other words, my care and concern for feeding you got ahead of me feeding me, or the Holy Spirit feeding me. Once I got that right and went back to him, immediately the Lord started speaking to my heart. And I realized that I had gotten your guys' needs ahead of my essential need as a teacher. Now you might be thinking, well, that's not right. Well, yeah, it is right. Because when you look at the chapter 2 in the book of Numbers, and you look at how God ordered and organized, and I'm relying on your guys' memory for this, but if you remember in chapter 2 of Numbers, God organized the camp of how they were supposed to camp. And in the center of the camp was this humble tent, the tabernacle, where the Holy Spirit dwelt. You see, at that time, and that whole book is an awesome book on how to do church, or in some cases, how not to. but the whole focus and attention was that the tabernacle was now the central focus of the entire nation of Israel. If our church, if our central focus isn't Jesus Christ, we get askew a little bit. We get messed up. If a pastor starts to put the needs of the people before Jesus Christ, there's going to be problems. So each one of us have to evaluate our lives and try to, you know, estimate whether or not, and God will use an experience like the wilderness to get you to refocus on, is he number one in your life? Is he the central focus of your life? And if he isn't, guess what's going to come? And again, your flesh is going to want to reject that's uncomfortable, Lord. I don't want to do that. And the flesh hates that. The flesh is always going to be at war with the Spirit. Okay, until we go home to be with the Lord, that's the way it is. And as I get older, I'm finding out more that my flesh likes the recliner a lot more than going out and beating weeds. But I have to discipline myself to go and do, right? Just like Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, or 9 actually, you know, that I have to discipline this body. He says, you know, there's the beating of the air, but I have to force myself essentially to go do things that I don't really want to do. And that's exactly what that wilderness experience should do. It's what each one of us should be offering that flesh on the altar and sacrificing it. When it starts to get the upper hand, that's what we got to do every time, is to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, like it says in Romans chapter 12. That's how we get back in line. We start to offer ourselves. We get to the feet of Jesus. We try to avoid all the distractions of this world, and we try to get refocused on the Lord. That's how you're going to get through some of that, all of those wilderness experiences. That was the experience that that first generation should have had, is they should have started just believing in God. But what did they do? They kept looking over their shoulder at how good it was in Egypt. And if you remember, they moaned and cried to get out of Egypt, right? And they kept looking back when God was trying to get them to look forward to the future rest. And just like they had a rest to come, we still have a rest for ourselves too, that someday we're going to go into heaven. And we're going to have that perfect rest. But until then, we've got to get through this wilderness experience and not panic. And, you know, once I realized that, oh, this is yesterday, you know, I'm sitting there in my room and I'm going, man, this is happening for a reason. You know what? I can go through it if I know there's a reason for it. But if I don't know there's a reason, then I'm lost. And so I sat there in that room, and all of a sudden, as I was sitting at the feet of Jesus, just reading some of his word, just praising him, and I started thanking him for what he would do today without knowing what would happen here today. I started thanking him for what he was going to do. Suddenly, I started to get a great peace to know. And it's a peace that goes beyond understanding. It really is. I mean, you really just settle down. And one of the things that my daughter said that shocked me was, she called me and she said, after they got squared away and towed away, and she said, thank you for keeping me calm through that whole thing. She goes, you really settled me down. And I was like, wow, that's what a father should do. And that's what our father does do, is if you will let him, in the midst of your experience, trust his word over how you feel and begin to settle down at his feet, and his rest and his peace will just come flooding into your heart and life. But you gotta go through those wilderness experiences if you get out of alignment. So with that, I'm pretty much done. I hope you've gotten something out of this, some meals, some nuggets, something. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just lift up this group to you, Lord. I pray that they would just settle down at your feet, Lord. That they would truly not shy away from the wilderness experience, but grow in their faith, that you would allow these temptations or these trials, Lord God, to work out what you want to work, that you would refocus their attention on you, help them in their service to know that their service only comes from worshiping you. And I just pray that you would bless this group today and the rest of the week, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.